back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Mix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, is back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes, Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, Lance Meadow.
Welcome to Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So glad you could join us with you for the next 30 minutes, getting you set for the start of training camp that kicks off on Friday here at MetLife Stadium in the Giants training complex. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Anything you want to weigh in relating to the start of training camp, certainly want to hear your thoughts over the next 30 minutes. You can also chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. So glad you could join us. Everyone excited around the Giants facility as the players will be returning in the next couple of days, getting set for training camp. And the theme of today's show is basically, who do you think needs to make the biggest statement in the weeks ahead as they get set for the regular season? For example, do you think it's Akeem Nicks, who was plagued by injuries last year? Does he need to prove that he can remain healthy for a consistent stretch so that he's all set for the start of the regular season? That hurt the offense last year, and that's no secret. He was lingering through that injury during the course of training camp, didn't see much action. As a result, only got some playing time in the last preseason game, was not fully healthy against the Dallas Cowboys in the opener, and then wound up re-aggravating an injury against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know the rest of the story from that perspective. They need him fully healthy. Akeem Nicks, 100%, helps Victor Cruz produce 100%, helps Brandon Myers produce at 100%, and helps guys like Lewis Murphy and Ruben Randall continue to do the things that they can do. Unfortunately, that was not showcased last season. The offense wasn't the same. Completely different spectrums of the equation in terms of how the Giants performed in 2011 with a healthy Akeem Nicks versus how they performed in 2012. And that is something that they want to right the ship early, and they want to make sure that he can last throughout the course of 16 weeks. So to me, Akeem Nicks is the guy that jumps right off the plate that I think needs to make a statement. Doesn't need to prove that he can continue to do what he has done in seasons prior. The Giants are well aware of his work ethic. They're well aware of how big a threat he is, but I think he needs to prove from a health factor that he's ready to go. So that, to me, is the one player that stands out. Maybe you feel it's a guy like a Marvin Austin, who's been plagued by injuries the last couple of seasons. You'd like to see some additional production out of him. Maybe it's a David Wilson, who you want to see pick up where he left off last season, or a Jayron Hosley, who showed some bright spots during the course of his rookie campaign. Maybe even Prince Amukamara. You know, he's been troubled by injuries since he arrived here with the Giants. Last season, got some consistent playing time. Maybe this is the year that he takes the next step. Does he need to do most of the work in the preseason to prove that he's ready to take that next step? Curious your thoughts here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, Giants.com. Lance Meadow with you. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. We'll get to your thoughts on Twitter in terms of who you think needs to really stand out throughout the course of training camp as the show progresses. Two other notes I want to get to before we get to some phone calls and Twitter comments. Some storylines coming to the forefront around the NFL yesterday. Two that very well impact the Giants come the start of the regular season. Number one, speculation circulating that the Broncos will be without their starting Pro Bowl linebacker Von Miller for the first four games of the season. Want to make it clear, purely speculation at this point. The league has not issued any statement, neither have the Broncos. Multiple reports out there saying that he violated the NFL substance abuse policy, and that would mean that he would have to sit out the first four games. And the reason it relates to the Giants, you take a look at the regular season schedule, week two, the Broncos are coming to MetLife Stadium. Broncos already lost Elvis Dumervil, who is considered one of the top pass rushers in this league. Because of a contractual issue, a paperwork mishap, he wound up signing with the Baltimore Ravens. Denver could very well be without two guys that produced 29.5 sacks last season. That is a huge blow to arguably one of the top teams in the league, definitely one of the top teams in the AFC, and a team that many people believe could very well get back to where they finished last season and take it a step further, possibly to the Super Bowl. So this is a huge development in terms of the struggles that the Broncos may face early on in the season. And if the Giants don't have to go up against Von Miller, now that is a nice break. Once again, very early in the game, a lot can happen over the course of training camp and the preseason. Maybe he is going to be eligible to play. The case, from what I heard, is during the appeals process right now, so a lot can happen, a lot can change. But just wanted to throw that little nugget out there because that could very well impact the Giants come week two. Number two, Robert Griffin III tweeted yesterday that he has been cleared to practice by team doctors. Training camp also starts up for them this week. He's supposedly going to be checked out and evaluated by Dr. James Andrews, who had conducted the surgery on his right knee. He tore two ligaments in the playoffs, way ahead of schedule, supposedly. How does this change the outlook for the Redskins? When you look at the schedule, the Giants don't meet Washington until very late in the game. December 1st, that's in D.C. That is a primetime game. And then December 29th to close out the season, that's a 1 o'clock Eastern game here at MetLife Stadium. So regardless of how healthy Robert Griffin III is to start the season, the Giants are really not going to get a look at him until really late in the game. We're talking in the teens in terms of the weeks. So it doesn't necessarily impact the Giants so much, assuming he's ready to go week one. But a lot of people expected, and based on how other players have regrouped from a torn ACL or a torn LCL, it's a process. To me, Adrian Peterson was the exception. He wasn't the norm. Could Robert Griffin III very well duplicate what Adrian Peterson did? Not necessarily by running on the ground, but I'm just talking about bouncing back so quickly and probably in less a period of time than Adrian Peterson did it. And how could that very well shake up the NFC East? You would have to assume that everybody is due for somewhat of a bounce-back campaign. Cowboys had a down year. Giants certainly are looking to bounce back. And the Eagles have had back-to-back campaigns where they missed the playoffs and only have 12 wins combined, including four last season, which was Andy Reid's last campaign at the helm. And Philly, who knows how they're going to look with Chip Kelly at the reins now. This NFC East is going to look a lot different than it had looked and appeared last season. And that'll spice things up with respect to the division. Giants do not face a divisional opponent until week five. That is when they host the Eagles. And the Eagles are the only team they actually play in the first half of the season. They get the Eagles out of the way. I take that back. They open up against Dallas. I jumped the gun there. Looking so far ahead. See, this is what happens when we speculate down the road. So they will play three divisional opponents. They open up against the Cowboys, and then they get the Eagles done right before the bye, which is November 3rd. Then after the bye, you still have another game against Dallas at home. You visit Washington, and you host Washington. Somewhat balanced for the most part, but you get the team that is looking to repeat as divisional champs really late in the game. And unlike last season, remember, when they got two games against the Cowboys out of the way in the first 8 weeks, this time it's spread out a little bit more. You get them in the opener, and then you don't play them till right around the Thanksgiving holiday, November 24th. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You can also chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow, last name M-E-D-O-W. Let's get to the lines. Our very good friend, Shakes in Maryland. Shakes, what's happening?
Hey. Oh, no.
What's happening, Shakes? What you got? Shakes, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air, Shakes. What you got?
Yeah, man. All right, I'm going to jump in and say it was a caller yesterday said it was going to be a Manning Bowl in New York. I want to throw my stakes in there, too. I'm going to say it's going to be a Manning Bowl in New York. I think we're going to be the top two teams in each conference. We might not have the best record, but, you know, with San Francisco and the Seahawks of the world, but we're going to be the best team in the NFC when it's all said and done.
Well,
and it's going to be a Manning Bowl in New York.
Well, we'll likely get a preview of that in week two when the Broncos visit the Giants so we can get an early tell on that.
And that's what's good. That's what's good about it is, like, we do good when we play teams during the season. This way we know what they're going to bring at us. You know what I'm saying? If they attack us with the passing game and how they attack us, we can learn from when we played them in week two and the Super Bowl when we play them, because it's going to be a Manning Bowl in New York.
Well, it's always nice to get a look at an opponent that's not within the division throughout the course of the regular season in the event, as you mentioned, Shakes, that you could meet them in the postseason.
Yeah, it's very good because, you know, when you don't play them, you don't know. So, say, like, if you play a team in the playoffs that you didn't play in the season, it's going to be very difficult because you don't know what they're going to throw at you. I wanted to also say the reason why our linebackers was ranked low is because of the unknown. Again, you know, every year it's always something unknown. Like last year was like tight ends and Marcellus Bennett stepped up. And then the year before that was what? Wide receivers and Cruz and Knicks and all of them stepped up. So this year I think it's the linebackers. It's only because it's unknown. And all the preseason games, like, it's going to be interesting because all the position battles. So it's not even going to be a boring fourth quarter in a preseason game because you're going to be into it because you want to know who's going to make this team.
Absolutely. You want to see who's going to be fourth or fifth on the depth chart at a respectable position because you never know if they're going to get in the regular season and make an impact. So you're right. It's very deep across the board, as we discussed in full yesterday. And I agree with you with respect to the linebackers. That was the one position battle that, to me, is the most intriguing, the one that I'm looking the most forward to watching because, as you mentioned, there's a lot of unproven goods in that group, guys that need to make statements outside of a Dan Connor, who is an established veteran. Other than that, a lot of guys who have been plagued by injuries over the course of their careers, or guys that are still relatively young, such as Jaquan Williams, and are they ready to take the next step and make an impact from down to down and game to game?
Yeah. Hey, Lance, I got two questions, and I'm out, though.
Sure. What you got?
First question, though, is because Will Hill just got suspended again, and I'm really high on him, so is this the last straw? Because, you know, we don't play that.
No, you're 100% right. I would say, to answer your question, Shakes, I think it hurts his chances to make this team only because the Giants know heading into camp that he has to sit out the first four games. And as we just mentioned, there's so much depth at various positions. If that means that they're going to keep another safety or keep another defensive tackle who can play the first four games, if you're the Giants, why would you hold a roster spot open for a guy that you know can't impact this team until week five? So, I mean, could Will Hill very well get back in a Giants uniform down the road if they decide to part ways? Absolutely. But I think from an urgency factor to start the season, this suspension really hurts his chances to make the opening week roster.
It really does. But and he's so talented. That's why I don't it's upsetting. And my second question is, because yesterday you kind of danced around this question, and
right,
I want to know, what's your number, man? You danced around this question. It was the question of how many sacks will Kiwi have, and you gotta give me a number, man. I know you saying the quarterback pressure, and I get all that. I watch games. I know that's an impact, but I want to know what's your number.
I'll go with, to please you and please the masses that may want to hear a number, I'll say he gets between 6 or 7 this season.
Well, that's good. That's close to mine because I got him having 8.
Okay. So that we're in the same ballpark, so that makes some sense. I think, listen, given the depth of defensive end, if Kiwanuka gets back to his comfort level, which I'm assuming will happen because he's so effective when he's on the line as opposed to on the linebacker line, I think that he'll have some favorable matchups, especially if people are going to pay a lot of attention to the JPPs and the Justin Tucks of the world or the Cullen Jenkins if they move him around. He should be able to get to the quarterback this season, so I don't see why 6 to 8, if you want to even expand it, is certainly a reasonable figure for Kiwanuka to achieve this season.
Yep, and like I told John, and also my wild card is the monster, DeMontre Moore, going to have 5.
Interesting number to throw out there. Well, you know, if Moore gets some playing time, he's the type of guy that could be a surprise this season. Absolutely.
Yes.
Now, here's my question.
Yes,
did I dance around the question today, Shakes? Are you going to let me off the hook now?
Yeah, I'll let you off.
You let me off.
You answered it.
I greatly appreciate that, Shakes. Listen, have a good one. Appreciate the phone call.
All right, you too, man.
All right, Shakes weighing in here this morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Let's head back to the lines. We've got Rodney in Philly. Rodney, what's happening? Rodney,
hey, how are you doing this
Rodney,
morning?
If you could do me a favor, before you continue to talk, if you could lower your computer because we're getting some feedback. Okay, what you got?
Let's talk about division and where we're going to rank at. You know, of course, all the Giants fans know that, you know, we feel like we should rank number one, this, you know, in our division this year, you know, just as fans. But if you look at what we have stacked on our offense, I think that we are primed to do, like, phenomenal numbers, more than what we did before. I mean, you got Nick's coming back. The Cruz contract is settled. You got Ruben Ramsey that's coming in there. And I believe in my heart that Ramsey Barnes, yes. Like, I know he's coming back, you know what I mean? And plus, you know, you also got the rookie that you, the other rookie that we got, but you talk about guys that's like, you know, 6'3 and over, arm spans and wing spans that can get down there and make these touches. I think that our numbers in this division can go way beyond the expectation of the Giants fan and the coaches as well this season.
Well, listen, if they stay healthy, Rodney, I agree with you. The depth is there. You know, Akeem Nicks wasn't healthy last season, and let's be honest, that impacted the Giants' offense. They were not the same. Same thing can be said with the running backs. You know, we had a lot of running backs on this team last year that got hurt. As a result, there wasn't consistency. If guys stay healthy, or even if you do have an injury, if you feel that the 2, 3, and 4th guy on the depth chart is good enough to carry the weight and pick up where Akeem Nicks or a David Wilson leaves off, then they're going to be in good shape, and there shouldn't be any concern if, God forbid, they get hit with an injury. So I'm in agreement with you. I think this could very well be a big bounce-back campaign for this Giants team. There's questions regarding the Eagles. We have no idea what that offense is going to look like under Chip Kelly. Is Robert Griffin III going to return to full health? And the Cowboys are a team that's also now battling with injuries, and we're, what, 2 or 3 days into training camp. So there's a lot of question marks, more so with the divisional opponents as opposed to the Giants entering training camp. If they can stay like that, they'll certainly be able to meet what you just laid out.
Now, I have 2 questions. One, do you think because of the offensive weapons that we have now, you know, we've seen the spark of what Wilson can do. We know the carrying load, you know, minus his injury, of course, of what the other running back can do. But do you think Gilbert's play calling will truly change and just, you know, be able to open and explode a lot of these defenses because of the weaponry that we have on offense now, especially with Myers coming at, like, at the tight end? Man, I just love that. When they got Myers, I just saw, like, you know, the end zone for Eli for so many downs more going into this new season than ever before.
The fact that they have some new weapons, Rodney, I think that means that the playbook is going to expand a bit, or there will be some flashes of creativity. And Rodney, appreciate the phone call. And what I mean by that is, for example, you bring in a Lewis Murphy. Lewis Murphy is going to stretch the field with Victor Cruz and Akiem Nicks on the field at the same time. That should help tweak the game plan a little bit. You would assume they're going to try to work him in. Ronnie also threw out a Brandon Myers. You would assume also that Kevin Gilbride's going to work him into the system as much as possible. And now David Wilson is entering day one as the guy. He's not a backup. He's not just a special teamer. So once again, the fact that he now has another full training camp under his legs to digest the playbook, this gives them the green light to say, you know what, we're going to maybe expand David Wilson's package. We're going to have X amount of plays for Lewis Murphy when we maybe want to go three wide. We're going to try to utilize Brandon Myers in this spot on the field. This is all speculation that I'm throwing out here, but I would assume based on what is on paper, it would not stun me that it will help please the masses out there who always question Kevin Gilbride's play calling, that given the amount of new faces and what they can do, the Giants have really stepped back this offseason, self-evaluated, and I think they're going to get a little creative. Does that mean that we're going to see flea flickers and all of these other crazy moves? No. Don't think that all of a sudden things are going to drastically change. But there's no reason that a couple of flashes here and there every game can't maybe doll up the playbook a little bit. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's go to our good friend Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's happening?
Good morning, bud. How you doing?
Doing well,
Jeff. Haven't talked to you in a while.
I know. Good to hear from you. What you got?
Yeah, good. The first thing I want to say is if I'm the Giants, Will Clark is already history already, so...
Well, you mean Will Smith. Will Clark, I don't think he's coming to play football anytime soon. I think his baseball days are over.
he's toast already if I'm the Giants. So that's all I get to say about that. But, I'm looking at the the linebacker position, you know, in regards to who's going to, as Jerry Reese says, come out of the shadows. And I think that'll be interesting. Of course, in my mind, the whole season is predicated on staying healthy, as I've said many times before. And generally, the last guy standing is usually the healthiest. So let's hope that we don't have any really serious injuries this year. And, that's pretty much the way it's pretty clear cut with me in that regard. So,
I agree with you. Continue, Jeff.
And I just, as I've said on other shows before, I'm not really comfortable with who I see at the at running back. I still think at some point in time we need to add another veteran running back. I'm not happy with what I see on the roster right now.
Let me ask you this. In terms of who's backing up David Wilson, you don't think that there's enough versatility there?
Yeah, no, I think, again, if everybody stays healthy, that'll be fine. But, Ryan Terrain and whoever else, I can't get too excited about Ryan Terrain.
Well, I don't know how much playing time a guy like that is going to see, but Andre Brown, Jeff, assuming he could stay healthy, I think he's proven that he could be a nice balance to play off of a David Wilson. And if both of those guys stay healthy, they could very well have a nice 1-2 punch. And then if they needed a third running back, they could certainly experiment. If they're not pleased with what they have currently on the roster, they can look at guys that may be waived or maybe still be out on the market as a free agent.
Well, I agree. That's my whole issue is with everybody staying healthy. That's the biggest unknown right there. That's the biggest unknown with any team. So we don't know what any other team what they're gonna do in our division. But if we stay healthy, I believe that we'll be in the playoffs with no issue. You know, I think it's a little bit premature to say we're gonna be playing in our home stadium in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's a little premature to be talking that way.
All right, Jeff. Thanks so much for the phone call. Good hearing from you this
good
morning.
Day, no.
You too. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat. You have to understand, a lot of Giants fans are very excited. They like to throw out those predictions, so that's why we're already getting some talk about the Super Bowl. But as Jeff mentioned, we've got a very long season to go. We haven't even started training camp yet. There is a lot of work to do with respect to formulating the roster. finalizing the depth chart, seeing who's going to be the starters, who's going to be the primary backups. A lot of exciting position battles, and it is way too early to start to speculate in terms of who is going to be playing at MetLife Stadium in an outdoor Super Bowl come February. But the Giants, as I said earlier in the show, if health works in their favor, and that is always the X factor for every team in this league, the depth is there this season where I truly believe they can make a lot of noise if everything falls into place. Let's go back to the lines. We've got John in Miami. John, what's happening?
Hello. Thank you for having me on the show. I just wanted to ask, how do you think David Wilson would play out?
In terms of his production this season?
Yes.
I think that he's in prime position to certainly make an impact on this team. He showed flashes of it last year when he was given the opportunity. Remember, Ahmad Bradshaw got hurt a couple of times, and there were games where Wilson was able to carry the load. I think that if he proves that he could be consistent as a pass protector, that he still needs to prove, then he could be able to carry the load. There's no reason to think that David Wilson can't take on 15 to 20 carries a game, assuming that he stays healthy and the coaching staff has confidence in him picking up blitzes. That is the one X factor I'll throw out, and that was the biggest thing that kept him off the field at times last year. The coaching staff did not feel that they could put him out there in situations to protect Eli Manning. It got better as the season progressed, and that's why his playing time increased. The only concern or question that I would throw out other than pass protection this season is, do the Giants feel that he can balance and carry the load between being a starting running back and the primary returner on kickoffs? If he can do that, then the Giants are going to be sitting nice and pretty. If he can and they want to savor him for just a running game, then the Giants are going to have to look for another guy on special teams. But I don't know if they're willing to sacrifice that because he's so explosive. I mean, look at what he did on special teams last year to set up the Giants in a great position to start drives. The Saints game probably is the one game that jumps off the page. They started at around the 50-yard line almost every drive in that contest, and that's why they had so much success against Drew Brees and company.
Yep, exactly. That's what I agree on. And another question I had was, how do you think Lewis Murphy's going to play? Because we added him over the offseason. Obviously, he was a great factor for the Rams. But how do you think he'll play with the Giants?
I like Lewis Murphy. I thought adding him and Brandon Myers is really going to help expand the playbook and take attention away from Akeem Nicks and Victor Cruz. Murphy was a tremendous weapon when he started his career with Oakland. Unfortunately, he got hurt there, but he was a guy that would stretch the field. They would throw bombs down the field, and he would make one catch after another, and then he just spent the past season with Carolina. So if he could stay healthy and they want to really put three wide receivers on the field, Murphy's the type of guy that if he can continually catch the football, all that's going to do is open things up for the likes of Victor Cruz and Akeem Nicks, and the same thing should be said for Reuben Randall. If these third and fourth wide receivers show consistency, all that's going to do is help open things up for the number one and two options, and they need that based on what we saw last season.
Yeah, that is, yeah, I agree with everything you just said. You just, like, my mind there. And one final question. Who do you think is going to be the biggest offensive weapon for the New York Giants this upcoming season?
That's an interesting question. And John, I'm going to let you go there. I want to get to some other callers before we wrap up the show today here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Certainly thank everybody for weighing in on the lines and on Twitter. The biggest offensive weapon that needs to make the biggest impact this season. Well, I started off the show saying I think Akeem Nicks is the guy that needs to make the biggest statement in training camp in terms of proving that he is healthy. In terms of the most integral offensive weapon, I'm probably going to go with David Wilson. And the reason I throw him out there is based on how the running game produced last season. That was the missing ingredient. The Giants were at the bottom of the barrel in terms of the rankings, and that makes your offense one-dimensional. If you have a consistent running game, now all of a sudden the defenses need to pay attention to the three-headed monster at receiver and also what the Giants can do out of the backfield. And what I mean by that also is the short passing game, which was not too evident last season at times as well. And we talked in great detail last year and took many calls that, you know, Eli Manning at times, a lot of fans wanted him to just throw the little shovel pass over to Ahmad Bradshaw or David Wilson as opposed to trying to force it down the field. Well, if you have a running game and you have a really good passing game that clicks, now you have some balance. So to me, if David Wilson can pick up where Ahmad Bradshaw left off in the pass protection game and does not wear down as the season goes, and they have Andre Brown to rely on as another reliable option, I think that he, to me, is the X factor, the secret weapon that could take this offense and literally carry it throughout the course of the season. They need to get that running game going. It has not been where it had been since 2008. And that says something about this Giants running game. And maybe it also had to do with the lack of health on the offensive line. This year they have a lot more depth coming in. If everybody stays healthy, you're going to have hopefully five offensive linemen that play the majority of the season, and it won't be a game of musical chairs. When you move your center to the right guard spot, when you move your left tackle to the right tackle spot, you know, despite these guys practicing each and every day, it's hard to all of a sudden adjust on the fly on game days, especially when injuries happened within the game. And that happened more often than not last season. So that also helps you, or hurts you, I should say, in moving your running game a step back or two. So David Wilson, to me, is the one offensive weapon that I think really could make a huge difference in how this team produces and how consistently this team puts points on the boards. Let's get back to the lines. Dave in Rochester. Dave, how are you doing, my friend?
Good, my brother. How you doing, man? Nice to hear you.
Same here, Dave. What you got? Now, by the way, I hope you called in last week and gave Paul Dottino a hard time.
Oh, come on. Of course I did. Okay. Man, it was my favorite thing is I heard you yesterday. I listened to the show, and I love that little piece you had about if you see an individual kind of balding running around the stadium MetLife with the shiny Nikes,
that's
you
right.
know who it is.
Absolutely.
But I just wanted to say that I think to kind of go to your question, I think the entire defense might be kind of suspect this year, and I know we've talked about all the positions all this offseason, but I think, and to get your opinion, a possibility of if the defense performs the same way it did last year, there could be some pretty big changes. I think we could see the possibility of the entire backfield maybe being revamped and certain positions being taken away from some of the starters. Do you think that's a possibility?
Well, Prince Amukamara and Corey Webster, at least heading into the regular season, unless something develops during training camp, are probably the two starting corners that are going to be penciled in. If something happens from a production standpoint, Dave, J'Ron Hosley certainly could be thrown into the mix, depending on how well he adjusts and digests the playbook with another season under his belt. I think there's a little bit more depth that, assuming everyone stays healthy, if the struggles do continue, as you just threw out in a hypothetical situation, yeah, the coaching staff could very well make some changes. But Corey Webster, I think, is motivated this year, given his production last year. And remember, he also dealt with multiple injuries. So you have to at least throw that into the conversation. But he's hungry.
Right.
He's hungry to get back to the level of where people were talking about him in the same conversation as Darrell Revis as a shutdown corner. And Webster had proven that since he arrived here. Last year was somewhat of an off year. With that being said, he still managed to collect a handful of interceptions, but it's going to take more than just Corey Webster bouncing back for this secondary to really produce consistently. As you mentioned, it's going to take the safeties. You know, Will Hill is not in the conversation because of the suspension. Is a Cooper Taylor going to make an immediate impact? Is Tyler Sash going to take another step? Is Antro Roll now not have to move around so much because they have more depth where they can keep him at that rotating safety spot as opposed to bringing him up to the line in that slot situation? So let's see how things play out in training camp in the preseason. I'm not so convinced that they're going to continue the struggles. I think that there's enough versatility in this group. And remember, Dave, the pass rush gets back to what it was. That's going to help the secondary out a lot.
Yeah, you said that yesterday. So, yeah, hopefully it turns out that way. But, hey, brother, thanks a lot. Ramses Barden lives, and I'll talk to you later, brother.
All right, Dave, good hearing from you. Thanks so much. Ramses Barden. We had two mentions of Ramses Barden on this show. John Schmelk would be so excited to have a conversation about Ramses Barden. He will have the opportunity to do that mañana when he returns from his little vacation, trying to fill up the gas tank before he gets ready for the grind of training camp. Before we close out the show, let's read some of your responses on Twitter. I threw out at the top of the show, what player needs to make the biggest statement in training camp. We have two Justin Tuck references, Frank M. at FMJR78. Justin Tuck needs to step up during camp. He's the veteran on D, needs to become our leader. Justin Tuck, another player that had battled some injuries. The sack numbers were a bit down. You got a lot more weapons in play to help out that pass rush. If JPP sees some double teams, somebody on the opposite side is probably going to be licking their chops. Justin Tuck is one of the guys that jumps off the page. Maybe it's DeMontre Moore, who somebody threw out earlier in the show, depending on how much playing time he gets. Or maybe it is Mathias Kiwanuka. The fact that everyone assumes he's going to be moved back down to his normal defensive end slot where he is comfortable, this could be the year that he ignites the pass rush. But they've got a lot of defensive tackles in the mix. There's a lot of depth there, a lot of guys that are jockeying and fighting for position to make this roster. That will be fun to watch. But Justin Tuck, a name that you can certainly throw out in the mix, is somebody who needs to make a statement. Our good friend at Big Bluviator, a name that I always butcher, but I think I got it right again, David Wilson. I also talked about him throughout the course of the show, and we had Brian Magner at Magnerific throw out that Victor Cruz needs to make the biggest statement in training camp, given the fact that he's coming off that new contract and certainly missed the majority of OTAs and minicamp. So you want to see that Victor Cruz can get back to the level of production that he has proven he can do over the last couple of seasons. And Mike Farmer at MFarmer20 wants to know another topic. At what position other than quarterback do you think the Giants can least afford an injury in camp? I'm going to say running back. And Jeff in Rhode Island had weighed in about that he doesn't think there's nearly as much depth there. So I'm going to agree with him, because if you lose David Wilson or Andre Brown, then you get into some shaky territory. Who are you going to turn to? So I would say running back is probably the one position they cannot afford to have an injury take place during the course of camp, during the course of the preseason. Every other position, for the most part, I think they have some depth, specifically on the defensive side. Maybe I'll go the route of tight end if, God forbid, Brandon Myers got hurt. Some unproven guys behind them, Adrian Robinson. You know, is this going to be the year that maybe he can also take another step forward? Their rookie out of Cincy, who did not see much playing time last year, still digesting the playbook. Maybe this is an opportunity for him to get a full offseason under his belt. The thing that also, I think, held Adrian Robinson back a bit, when he got drafted out of Cincy, because of their school schedule, he did not join the team until much later into OTAs and minicamp. So he was really playing catch-up the entire course of the offseason. And then once he got to training camp, it was like, wow, you know, a big wake-up call in terms of what he had to now catch up with. So this now is an opportunity for him to be at the same stage as the rest of the group, and perhaps this is an opportunity for him now to make an impact and sell the coaches that he deserves some more playing time. With that being said, want to thank everybody on the lines and on Twitter for weighing in once again. Good conversation. Hope to have an opportunity to do this with you throughout the course of the season. Big Blue Kickoff is with you every day, 10 to 10:30. John Schmelk will return tomorrow, so feel free to chime in on the conversation. And you can carry the conversation with me off the air at Lance Medow on Twitter, last name M-E-D-O-W. Want to continue to hear your thoughts as training camp progresses and we get into the heart of the regular season. Once again, Big Blue Kickoff wrapping up. Lance Medow signing off. Have a good one. We'll see you the rest of the week here on Giants.com.